It's hard.
Well, we know that theme very well. And we know that that means that our dear friend Paul Preston is joining us today the way from the great city of Burbank to talk to us about what to go see in the movies. How are you, Paul?
Hello, gang. How are you?
How you doing, brother?
So Peter Marshall, did you talk about his real name?
No, I didn't.
In terms of childish joys, his name was Ralph Lecoq.
Oh,
and I know that
yeah.
because his son, Pete Lecoq, was a Kansas City Royal. I don't know if you remember the baseball player, Pete Lecoq. And I found out he was Peter Marshall's son. And that's when I first realized, celebrities change their names.
Absolutely.
It's like, how can that possibly be? They don't have the same. Oh, I see. And I get it.
Yeah. Well, musicians change their names. Actors change their names. Yeah.
Lecoq wouldn't have worked in Hollywood, though.
No.
not so much. Maybe not ideally.
Maybe in the valley, but no.
On the west side.
Yeah, right. Work over there.
It's like, Lecoq, yeah.
Oh, hire him.
Stacked.
What's going on, Paul?
Well, look, I mean, I'll talk about what everybody's talking about because I haven't been on here since it opened, but Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yeah, man.
The best
There's no
selling,
bigger movie this year.
Best-selling rated R, or top grossing, I should say, rated R movie in history right now.
Dang, history?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's already at a billion.
Well, yeah. You know what number three and four are in the top five rated R movies of all time?
No.
Deadpool 2 and Deadpool.
Wow.
Like he's kind of, and the only thing sticking in the middle there is Joker, which was the movie it beat for the number one global box office. Yeah, it couldn't be more different.
Paul, before we get to the wonderfulness of Deadpool and Wolverine, real quick, how do you think Joker 2 is going to do?
Well, I mean, they're certainly taking a swing. So, first of all, Joker made me so uncomfortable. I nearly had a panic attack during that.
Really?
It's uncomfortable. Like, I was sitting in my seat squirming, like, get me the hell out of here. Like, this movie is just dark and relentless and just, like, you know, like, where's the fun of Nicholson? I mean, it's a great film, but it's totally different. And one of the things I remember Todd Phillips saying, the director, you know, the director of The Hangover, by the way, and you know, which just cracks me up.
Mm-hmm.
He said, filmmaking is complicated, you know, because people were complaining about it, maybe the way it portrays people with mental instability and all that kind of stuff. But he's like, look, art, filmmaking's a complicated art. You want an uncomplicated, take up calligraphy. You know, so then I kind of appreciated his, like, swing the way he did. He stood by it. He took this dark turn for the movie, and it's not even the Killing Joke. The Killing Joke, which was one of the Joker origin stories in the comics, it wasn't this dark. Like, this movie just went. So he's going to do it again. He's going to, again, probably upend expectations, because, first of all, as you probably know, it's a musical.
No,
so
I didn't know that.
Oh, you didn't know that? Yeah, they don't hide it in the trailer. There's some music, but they don't lead with it. And I think the closer we get to
a full-blown musical?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But, I mean, there's music in it. It doesn't mean it's going to be like Showgirls and dancing and stuff. Whether they could be. But I think they will sing songs when, you know, the true purpose of a musical is the characters can no longer express themselves through words. And they must sing about it. That's what, like, Oklahoma was, like, trying to do and did successfully as, like, the first big musical out there ever. So... it will come to a head where Joker and Harley can no longer say what they need to say, and they'll need to sing about it.
Wow. So no wonder Lady Gaga was brought in to do this thing then.
There you go.
Ooh.
And, you know, and she...
Lady Gaga's been killing, though.
Yeah.
I just don't do musicals like that. The musicals take me out of it. So that's
I have a feeling it's classic songs, so I don't think they're writing new music. Oh. But they'll do like standards and stuff that fit whatever's going on in the storyline.
Yeah. I mean, as a DC fan, you know, when I first saw Joker, whatever, like you, Paul, it kind of made me a little bit uncomfortable. But at the same token, that's what I think the character of the Joker is. It makes you uncomfortable. but
there's certainly a possibility for that. Yeah, obviously Nicholson played him different. Ledger played him more like he says in the movie, an agent of chaos.
Yeah.
But so this was another take, and I welcome it. But anything that's outside the DCEU, as I think we know, is just a trashed concept and over. Finally, I hope the new Superman is like just brand new. Mm. Let's not even do the origin to Superman fighting bad guys. That's all I need. You know? Like, and so,
we know who he is.
Touché.
Yeah, we know who he is.
We already know who he is, man. Like, yeah, for
go straight to Superman 3.
Yeah. Let's have Pa Kent die again. Must we? The poor guy's been through enough.
Yeah, exactly.
So, for Joker to.
Uncle Ben.
I mean, and what's the complaint we have about a lot of sequels? They're the same thing, right? Just, if, you know, so for Joker to not, this clearly announcing it's not going to be the same as the first one. I welcome it.
Yeah. All right. Deadpool, Wolverine.
Well, the opposite of the DCEU is the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Just one of the greatest things in the history of entertainment. I mean, I'll get to that. Broader strokes on what the MCU is in a second.
Well,
but
we had Marvel Jesus in it, so you know it definitely saved everything.
Exactly. But this is to me exactly what Marvel needed. You know, Feige's timing. The guy, doubt Kevin Feige at your own peril. And everything they announced at Comic-Con, from Doctor Doom's arrival to Secret Wars, to the Fantastic Four's arrival, finally, like. The best Spider-Man has been when Spider-Man joined the MCU. So the best for Fantastic Four is going to be when they join the MCU. I mean, it's on all those other movies. We'll forget, you know.
Sure.
So you got films like, Thor. When Thor came on the scene, it was a hit movie. Dark World, not so much. Considered one of the worst in the MCU. So they looked and went, but this needs to be shaken up. How can we do it? Well, Thor Ragnarok comes along and they say, we'll make Thor hilarious. Chris Hemsworth's a funny guy. And totally changed the concept of that part of the franchise. You know, huge money, Iron Man type numbers, a sequel that was also hilarious. Like, they just pointed Thor in a different direction and it totally worked. And so I think this was what was needed. Now you got the Marvels underperforming. Movies like Black Panther, Wakanda Forever did well, but they're downright bleak. You know, like everyone's dying. It's like, all right, we need a shot in the arm here. Who can do it? Deadpool. And it's paid off for, you know, like you said, over $1 billion.
Yeah.
So, quick recap if you don't know it. He tries to get in the Avengers. Wade Wilson gets denied. And so he goes to, here's a pretty cool tie-in with the television shows, you know, that he goes to the Time Variance Authority from Loki, or they come and get him.
Yeah.
And he learns his timeline is going to be destroyed due to the death of an anchor being, that being Logan, Wolverine. Right. So he grabs a Temped and he allows him to jump from timeline to timeline to find Wolverine and save his timeline. Then all hell breaks loose and it's just glorious. First of all, if you've ever seen a movie like Meet the Spartans or superhero movie or epic movie or any of this stuff, It just proves to you how hard it is to do what the Zucker brothers and Jim Abrams made look easy with movies like Airplane and Top Secret. Mm-hmm. So who is going to spoof Marvel best? Marvel. And they totally prove it. No one can parody Marvel better than Marvel. And everything is on the table. Old characters that never got movies or were discarded by the studio are in a place called the Void in this storyline.
Yeah.
I know it's been a few weeks, but I do hesitate to still give spoilers, because when you're in the movie and you see some of these characters revealed, it's just such a joy. And the Void, of course, is where characters are literally discarded in the plot line. So they goof on the state of the MCU today. Disney's purchase of Fox, all the fourth wall breaking you'd expect is still in there. Deadpool admits the multiverse is tired, which is like kind of true. And it feels also like, you know, with the arrival of Dr. Doom, they're taking Jonathan Majors, right, and his whole scandal playing Kang and just saying, whoop, next, you know, they're just getting rid of it. They're not afraid to say, so, next, you know, like Terrence Howard, you're paying the ass, whoop, Don Cheadle. You know, they're not afraid.
they ain't afraid to swap you out, man.
Yeah, so they get rid of him, and now so that means a whole change in storyline. So, you know, they got to go a different direction.
Go ahead, Paul. I'm sorry.
No, continue.
I was going to say, I thought the whole script as a whole, though, in what Ryan Reynolds and the other two writers did and everything,
was just freaking brilliant. Everything from the opening scene of the fight and bringing in everything that you knew or that we knew as an audience as a Marvel Universe fan. Mm. And bringing in all those characters. And even when they brought Chris Evans in, and I'm not going to say, because again, I don't want to spoil if you haven't seen it yet. But when they brought Chris Evans in, they make you think it's one thing when it's another.
Yeah, and laugh out loud, uncontrollably laugh out loud. Dude, just went,
we were laughing so hard at the different jokes. I mean, I think I have to go back and watch it because I missed probably four other jokes after the main one.
If I may make a plug, Rhett Reese is one of the writers, and he was on my podcast many years ago. So look up the movie guys to search Rhett Reese and find our interview with him when the first Deadpool came out. So it's 8 years ago. Okay. And then of course, if you want to know more, look up the Countdown to 3 Deadpool series at the movie guys where we go over each movie in the Deadpool franchise. It's just three of them. So it's a quick, easy podcast to digest. We're about to record the one about Deadpool and Wolverine. Mm-hmm. But the point is, so we learned in researching that show, the story of Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, who is his co-writer, and even more so than when I interviewed him. For example, those two guys had the idea to write this script and get it done and for the original movie and go way off the beaten path, you know, be rated R, break the fourth wall, have all sorts of fun with Deadpool the way he's supposed to be, knowing this was a complete reaction to Deadpool's appearance in X-Men Origins Wolverine, where they sewed his mouth shut. And, of course, Deadpool addresses that in the first movie. It's like, what was Fox thinking? Yeah. So he's the Merc with the mouth. You know, that's his name. So those two guys, but they're not trusted, you know, so they're not allowed on the set, but they want to do a bunch of rewrites. So Ryan Reynolds pays for those two guys out of his pocket to be on set so they can rewrite jokes on the scene. And also, he's got a mask on, so you could dub in jokes later, too, that you're thinking, like, you know, if he says one thing and it's not working, they could just dub it in, and no one will know the difference. It won't have to match his moving mouth in that mask. So by the second movie, Reese and Wernick are on set, paid for by the studio. Like, they realize we got a hit here. By the third movie, now they're also executive producers. So, like, it's the progression of talent when you have this amount of success with this franchise that you should expect. I mean, I told you, this is 1, 3, and 4, the top rated R movies of all time. The first two getting about 750 million or 850 million, something like that, a piece, and this one topping a billion. And the last thing I'll say is, so by this movie, it's the three of them, Ryan and the two writers, just riffing and having as much fun as they possibly can. And they bring in Sean Levy as the director.
Yeah.
Who, another weird story, because, like, he directed two huge hits for Steve Martin that were some of his worst movies ever, like Cheaper by the Dozen and the Pink Panther reboot.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
But then he made Night at the Museum, and I went, that's pretty good. But now he's on, he directed Free Guy. He got with Ryan Reynolds, and he's doing really good stuff. And he went over and did a lot of episodes of Stranger Things. So now Sean Levy is, like, hot shit, and he has a lot of fun with this movie. And they bring in one final guy who's written a lot for the comics. And the five of them just turned out this script, like you say, don't like that joke? There'll be another one in a minute. Nope, 30 seconds. Nope, 5 seconds later, there'll be another joke. So if you didn't like it, there'll be another one. Or if you did like it, you're going to miss the next two because you're laughing, to your point.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, to me, everything was really brilliant about this. And the funny thing is, I'm not a huge Deadpool fan, not because of the character, but because of the graphicness of everything, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm just not that kind of person. It could just kind of reminded me of, like, a Freddy Krueger type film or whatever, you know, a slasher film. So I'm really not into that. But I knew with this one, I had to go see it because, A, Hugh Jackman's coming back to play Wolverine. And it wasn't going to be the same type of Wolverine, you know. So that I knew. And so I said, okay, I'm going to bear through, you know, the goriness of things. But at the same token, I think more than the other films, the goriness was hysterical.
True. It was over the top. They have these guys
way over the
writer
top.
Is Ryan, the director, they have no desire to underperform. So it's at this point, Hugh Jackman has just solidified the biggest superhero legend status. I mean, perhaps there is. I mean, is there anybody of 22 years, 3 years he's been playing him? I mean, that's any of your great Batmans, even Christian Bale, only did 3 movies, you know, like this is the thing of legend that he is doing. And he does show new things here, you know. I mean, the uncontrolled rage, we never really unleashed Logan quite that much, except maybe a little bit in the Wolverine, but he was so old and Logan, as angry as he got, he couldn't really fire on all cylinders. And so you got to see that. Plus you got to see him showing mercy or love and making the right choice at the right time, like a hero would. So it was just so great to have him back. You guys
get to see the original, the OG Wolverine uniform.
Yeah.
God. And all the characters from the comics. Yeah. So funny.
You know, I mean, just the way everything was put together was just freaking brilliant.
That's what happens when you get people what they want, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's some of the dopier critics out there talking about an overload of fan service. I mean, it's only fan service if you offer it up and you have no context. But, for example, the heroes they meet in the void, it's like hilarious because they make jokes about them, bad dialects or crazy relationships or meta jokes about relationships outside of the movie that the actors had, all this kind of stuff. But then, in the end, they kick ass. Yeah. You got to see some characters you never saw in a movie before or you wanted to see again completely obliterate the Cassandra. What is her name? Cassandra Nova? Whatever.
I know you're talking about.
The bald lady. Her Professor X's twin. Her army just gets hammered by them. And, you know, in the middle of this void where this dragon beast smoke thing from Loki is going to come kill everybody. And so it's like, just to see them kick ass like that was so satisfying. It's like, just, man, we never got this movie, and look at him whoop ass. Yeah. We got our jokes, and we got to see him kick ass. It's everything.
And you get all the wonderful cameos in this film, too.
Well, I mean, no spoiler, but this is a spoiler, but it's not all the fucking Russian from Thomas Jane's The Punisher shows up like a shot. I'm like, what?
That's old boy from wrestling. Kevin Nash. Kevin Nash. Yo, they got the Russian in this motherfucker.
He shows up in the red and white shirt. I'm like, what is even happening? This movie's nuts.
Wow, that's fucking awesome.
But I mean,
though,
like, they even bring back, was it the girl from Logan?
Yeah, I know, Weapon 13.
You know,
forget her name, but yeah.
X-23. Yeah, thank you.
And then
Laura?
Yeah, and then, what's her name? Jennifer Gardner comes back.
Yeah, I heard she was I did everything I could to avoid spoilers, but after a while...
Yeah, don't say anything more, don't ruin it for
But me. After a while, you see, they just post them everywhere, so I kind of know most of the cameos, and I'm probably going to
see
it.
But you still got to go see it,
because... going to go see it today after we get through
this. Yeah, because it is just brilliantly done, as many cameos as there are in this film. You know, it's just the way they did it. You know, I mean, because...
Exactly.
I don't want to spoil too much though either, but
go see it, people.
Yeah,
it's worth it.
All the jokes we want, but then they have honest to God hero moments, which are you know, just so meaningful. At the same time that it's hilarious.
And one thing I got to say too about this film is that there's a fight scene between Wolverine and Deadpool in a van.
Yeah.
And it is the most uniquely choreographed fight scene I have ever seen in my life.
True. They make a lot happen in a small space.
In that small space. It is amazing.
Well, there are a ton of fights that I just thought would never happen. There's one towards the end where they meet a huge army out on the street. You might have seen the shot in the trailers where they're kind of walking slow-mo out with that whole shot as they walk out and they're meeting this giant army. And you're like, oh, no, they're outnumbered. Then they fight. It's like 200 or whatever. And it's awesome. You know, like, they don't hold back from delivering everything you want. And still finding time to like, again, not make it fan service, to deliver more than what you want with the iconic shots or the sacrifices or the heroic stuff. I mean, it's just such a great movie. I can't wait to see it again. I saw it.
It's a brilliant film.
I gotta go.
Yeah.
And I was going to talk about another movie, but screw it. Let's keep going on about this. Because this is the 34th movie in the MCU. And if you don't think the Marvel Cinematic Universe is the most incredible thing like ever made.
Does that include like, all the animation too? Is that
No, I
don't think so.
That's just live action.
That's just live action.
That's wild.
Doesn't even include the television stuff either. You know, it just that the quality could be this high that far in. You know, movies get three movies, franchises get three movies in, and the third one's crap. You know, or the second one.
Paul, in all seriousness, with everything changing with the MCU and everything, how do you feel that their future movies are going to do? Do you think they're going to do well, or do you think they might fall short?
Nope. Kevin Feige, again, when he shows up, first of all, they've been taking their Comic-Con panels to D23 and doing like stuff for Disney. But he went back to Comic-Con, and they paneled the shit out of that panel. The Downey Jr. reveal, I mean, just the place went berserk. He's going to play Doctor Doom?
What's your take on that?
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
Really?
I mean, do we love anybody more than Robert Downey? First of all, you never see Doctor Doom's face, so why not?
Yeah, you never
see. He's got the mask on all the time.
Okay.
Yeah, I know in the movies, one of the early movies, Julian McMahon from Nip Tuck played him, and you saw him, and then he became Doctor Doom. I think in the comics, he never took it off, right? So why not? Let's get the guy we love. You're not going to have that in the mask shot, I don't think, that Iron Man has.
Once he becomes Doom, then the mask never leaves his face.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I agree. I don't know how they're gonna
put anybody in there. Well, I don't.
No, they're gonna do him because they need his
talent.
He could
do it. And they need his actions and his choices. But I don't seeing that they're picking him. They're not gonna do the Doom origin story. I don't see how they're gonna be able to do that with him unless they explain. Okay, this is another multiverse thing that nobody wants to hear that shit.
I hear a lot of stand-ins.
You know, unless they just start. All right, this is the story. Boom, Doom is already here, which most likely is how they're gonna do it.
I don't know the comic storylines quite as much as other people. I just watch the movies, and I love the movies. And I know they try and reflect the comics, but they also want to do a bunch of new stuff so people who love the comics aren't just seeing regurgitated stuff that they've seen before. But
I know the whole storyline in the comics, what happens, but that involves like another in the comic books. Basically, Doom at a young age, he's going to school with Tony Stark. And he figures out a way to switch bodies. So he takes over Stark's body. Stark takes over Doom body. And they end up becoming who they were always meant to be. You know what I'm saying? That's how it goes.
Really?
But I don't see them doing that in this.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't see them doing that in this. Because then you got to bring back Tony Stark in reality. They're not going to, like, Tony Stark is done. If they're bringing Downey Jr. back, Tony Stark is done.
Right.
Doom, he's never going to show his face. And he's going to be a tortured character like Tony was. And he's going to be acted his ass off because Downey Jr.
But you could do
the
Dr. Doom story. If that's the backstory, if you can do the Dr. Doom story and then just play the other character, and then they already led up to where.
Yeah, but you got. But if you do that.
Dr. Doom.
But if you do that Doom story, you have to.
There's a difference between Deadpool desecrating the legend of Logan's sacrifice right at the opening credits of Deadpool and Wolverine.
Right.
You kind of can't do that to Stark. His sacrifice at the end of Endgame was just too big to like then go, oh, well, he's back and now he's doing this. You know, I think you got to kind of go, well.
Yeah, you can't bring him back.
I think they'll probably start fresh. Yeah. But again, doubt Feige at your own peril. In fact, who's he bringing back? As soon as the Russo brothers showed up on stage, Russo brothers made Winter Soldier, Civil War, Infinity War, and Endgame. They made the best ones.
Winter Soldier is like low-key one of the best joints in the whole Marvel. Like, Winter Soldier is the truth, yo.
Yeah, and these guys, I mean, remember when like Batman Forever couldn't handle six characters?
Oh,
and then, you know, Joe and Anthony Russo come in, and Endgame's got like 40, and they're like, we got this.
Yeah.
So for them to do Doomsday and Secret Wars, brilliant. And now I think they're also bringing back one of the writers, Stephen McFeely, because Chris Marcus and Stephen McFeely, who wrote all those movies I just mentioned, are also a key ingredient to that. I don't know if they're getting them both back, but even one of them is like a good sign. So I trust everything they showed me at Comic-Con.
Well, if you guys are just joining us right now on the podcast, this is Marvel Talk with Paul Preston. You can call in at 562-449-3798 and join the talk if you like.
YourMarvelDose.com.
Hey, that's a new podcast. There we go.
This MCU is just absolutely incredible. If you're not, you know, I always say if you're not watching what Meryl Streep's doing while you're sharing the earth with her, you're you know, it'd be like, hey, Shakespeare's got this Hamlet play. Should we go? Nah, you know, don't do that. Don't be that guy. The MCU is here. Go watch it. Enjoy yourself. I mean, the next movie is Captain America, Brave New World, where my favorite actor of all time, Harrison Ford, is going to play the president.
Yeah, exactly.
Thunderbolt Ross.
Yeah, he also plays whatchamacallit. You already know. You know the comics, right?
Well, he's going to be Red Hulk.
Yeah, he's going to be Red Hulk, so that's going to be...
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that's a Red Hulk
reference.
Yeah, so that's going to be bananas.
Like, oh, man.
So I hope the rest... I hope it's a bomb movie, because it's already, like, crazy expensive.
The trailer looks crazy.
Yeah. Seeing Red Hulk is, like, it's going to be crazy.
Well,
if
the
Red Hulk
wings.
Is in there, then eventually you're going to have to bring Hulk. Like, they're going to have to fight. Like, that's... They have to.
When my uncle said, I got these wings, I was like... I'm going to watch that.
I mean, Sam Wilson, he has one of the greatest lines in the history of the MCU when he shows up in Endgame. Cap, on your left. And it's a callback to like
the very first,
15 movies previous, you know? Yeah. And it's not until Endgame that Cap says Avengers Assemble. I mean, DC would have done that in the first scene of the first movie of the DCEU.
Right.
Nah, like, they teased that shit for years.
He said the first,
they got
the
it
first
down. Do not bet against them. Yep. It's going to be amazing.
Awesome. And there you go, guys. We're going to wrap that up with it. Paul, thanks so much.
It wraps the show. But anyway.
Good talking to you, brother. Good talking to you.
I love
As ever. Good damn fine chat.
Hey, are you going to be seeing anything this coming week? Or
I'm a little behind. I went out of town for a sec, then I got COVID for the first time.
Did you really?
Yeah, it was fine.
Welcome,
I only had a fever.
Welcome to the club, brother. Welcome to the club.
Yeah, it's going around. I actually have tickets to see Chinatown at the Motion Picture Academy Museum next Wednesday. So if you've never seen that movie... That's a lot of movie. I saw it like a year ago. Like, I'll go again. Movie. There's a lot of movie going on there. So I want to definitely see that.
Cool. All right, buddy. Well, we will catch up with you then pretty soon then, whether it be next week or even, you know, we can wait a little bit longer too for you to tell us to. What Marvel movie to go
see?
Well,
we can watch. You can talk about other movies.
But why?
We got a lot of
But why?
Is Alien part of the MCU yet? Or you know,
give it time. Yeah. Give it time.
I'll definitely see that. We can talk about that next time. I can't. That looks pretty.
Romulus does look pretty. Dope.
Yeah, it does look good.
And a phenomenal panel also at Comic-Con. I didn't make it to the Marvel panel. I watched it online, but I was at the panel for Alien Romulus, and it was really, cause that director Fede Alvarez, who made Don't Breathe, which is a great movie, and the Evil Dead reboot.
Speaking of horror movies, real quick before I let you go, did you see the trailer for the new Hellboy?
No,
my man.
I did not.
Please,
I've seen
please
stills
look at
for
that.
It,
I would like to talk to you about that when next time we talk to you. But it's straight horror, bro. It's 100% straight horror.
And is it comic authentic?
Yes,
I've heard.
It is. It is 100% comic. It's probably going to be the best comic representation of Hellboy we've seen on or movie wise. We'll see when it get here, but it looks crazy dope.
Cool. I'm down. Yeah.
Sounds good to me then.
All right, so the Marvel's Hellboy. Oh, no, wait. No, he's not Marvel. But... All right, farewell, gang.
All right, buddy. Thanks so much, Paul. Take care, buddy.